Adam. Does that mean quit one? Just do it. Just no. Okay, I didn't know. So hey, it's school's out. Is school out for everybody, or is it just the Georgia folks right now? School out for Alabama? Okay. All right. Must be where everybody is. School's out, so we're going on vacation or whatever, right? Well, hey, I can cheer you up a little bit, maybe. Or maybe, I don't know if it's sad or exciting or whatever, but the hummingbird wars of 2016 have begun at my house. Y'all got them too? It's amazing to watch those animals. What are they mad about? There's a lot of anger in those little birds. All right. Well, let's go to Acts chapter 6, if you will. Acts chapter 6. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we praise you, dear Lord God, and we thank you for being our God, dear Lord. Lord, we thank you for being big enough, dear Lord God, to take care of all of our needs, dear Lord God, but for being willing, dear Lord God, to be our friend in trouble, dear Lord. Lord, we know where our strength comes from, dear Lord. Lord, we know where our salvation comes from, Lord. And Lord, we know that we're nothing without you, dear Lord God. I praise you, dear Lord God, for all that you are. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, we're going to look a little bit at Stephen tonight. Stephen's one of my favorite Bible characters. And he doesn't show up for a very long time, but boy, there's a lot going on with Stephen. So in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, "And in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." So some people were getting neglected in the ministry. And I would just challenge us to look around and make sure no one's getting neglected in our ministry. It's up to us to take care of one another and to ensure that those of us who are in need have the things that we're in need of. And verse 2, it says, "Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." You see, in a ministry and in any work that God does, everyone has a job and everyone has an assignment, and everyone should play their role in that job. God has a purpose for all of us, just like He has a purpose for every part of the human body. The hand does the job of the hand. The arm does the job of the arm. The mouth does the job of the mouth. And God has us in this body just like members of a body. And it's important that we get in our job and we get in our purpose and we don't start messing with other people's job and other people's purpose. Because if God had in mind for you to be a certain role, then you're going to mess up somebody else's role if you're trying to get in that. I'll give you an example. Is Brother Buddy here? Brother Buddy's always here. There he is. You got to love Brother Buddy. Brother Buddy's been in his ministry since the very beginning. But I like to think about Brother Buddy. I like to think about him as very important to the ministry. And Brother Buddy does a lot around here, but one of the things he does is he takes care of the facilities, making sure things are clean and orderly and sanitary, and takes care of the place. And he makes choices around this place. And he decides what kind of cleaning supplies that we're going to use, and he decides what kind of air fresheners we're going to use. And so he's responsible for that environment as people walk in. Now, Brother Buddy's in that job, And I know he takes his job very seriously. So I'm sure he prays about his job that he does here at the church. Matter of fact, I know Brother Buddy would. So I'm thinking that he's the one that's going to get direction from God on anything that he does. Probably not going to send Brother Adam direction on what kind of air freshener to get for the restrooms, right? So Brother Adam really shouldn't have any opinion on what kind of air fresheners go in the bathroom. Now, what's so important about air fresheners in the bathroom? How can that even matter? Well, God has a purpose in everything. Somebody walks in here is looking for help for their lives, and they're skeptical of church anyway. I was, okay? I was skeptical of every one of y'all when I started coming to this church. I was skeptical of everybody, quite frankly. And sometimes it takes little triggers to cause you to trust an environment or trust the people. And if someone comes in and they have a familiar smell that God put right there for them, to where they go, well, something's familiar here. This feels like home. God could use that scent or that smell to connect someone with this place, you know, just to start the process. So I wouldn't want to get in the way of that, would you? There are a lot of ministries within this ministry, and we got to be very careful to keep our hands off of other people's ministry. Because I don't want to be responsible for messing up a situation that God was trying to work in the person that has the responsibility for that. And who, by the way, is accountable for that. Accountable for that. Okay. All right. In verse 3 it says, "Then the disciples looked for the right people to perform the task." Okay. In verse 3, let me get into the scripture. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business." So the disciples look for the right people to appoint to the task. In verse 4, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen." They chose Stephen, a man full of faith of the Holy Ghost. Now, they chose Stephen because he was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. There was something about Stephen that attracted them to him. So I would challenge everyone to think about Stephen as they saw something different in him. They saw that he was different. They saw that he was a person that appeared to be full of the Holy Ghost. They liked his, you know, maybe his principles. He had demonstrated certain principles in his life where they said, that's a person that we can have in service. He brought something maybe to the table. He brought a level of service to the table. And I would ask everybody here, are we bringing something to the table? Are we bringing something when we show up? Are we being a person that can be described as someone who's full of the Holy Ghost? Are we being a person that when people look at us, and this is one of the first things that jumps out about Stephen to me, is he stood out as someone who was different. And I wonder if people were to describe us in our workplace or in our social interactions, or even here, would they describe us as someone who stands out as different? If you want to be like everyone else, that's pretty easy. You can just match what everyone else does. But that's not special, is it? And God probably didn't design you to be just like everyone else. God probably designed you with certain talents, certain gifts, certain motivations, certain passions, a certain purpose, a certain job, a certain purpose. So we need to seek that purpose out in our lives and seek out the things that God would have us be and step up and be that. So Stephen was the type of man who had something to bring, and he was a man of action. So that shows up later in the verses. Stephen, during this time, he was actually in what I would call, or one of the writers I read after would call, a transitional ministry. So this was his time between Peter and Paul. So Peter, his focus was on the Jews. And Paul, his focus was on the Gentiles. And Stephen showed up during that transitional period. And this is when Judaism had a Greek cultural influence associated with it. So that sounds like a time where a nation and a people are transitioning from one way of thinking to another. You know, Peter and Paul had a lot of conflict around some of the traditions that the Jews thought were appropriate. You remember the whole deal about Peter wouldn't eat anything unclean, and then he had a vision, and then he could eat things because God said nothing's unclean. And then he got around some of his old Jewish buddies, and he said, well, he started waffling a little bit, and Paul had to come in and have a little what we call constructive conflict, and say, come on, Peter, you got to stick with what you know is right, and he straightened him out. So all that turmoil was going on, and you know, that sounds a little goofy to us because we pretty much in the South we pretty much eat whatever will fry. Is that true? I mean, I've heard of people eating fried butter. I saw somebody eat fried Oreos. Who's done that? No? Okay. I've seen it. So they were trying to figure this thing out during this transitional period. And it sounds a little goofy, but when generations have come up thinking a certain way, it's hard to break that. I witnessed one time, and I think I've shared this story before, but I witnessed one time I was with some acquaintances, and one of the guys said, "Hey, run to the fast food place and get me something to eat." And the other guy brings it back, and they lay the food out. And this gentleman, he's a Muslim, okay? And he picks up the hamburger and he bites into it, and it had bacon on it. And he no pig, no bacon, okay? And you know, I like to kind of study people and their reactions and try to understand things. When he realized that his mouth was touching bacon, just a disgust went over him. And he was the boss, and he threw it down. And the guy that brought it thought it was a little bit funny, but it wasn't funny. So I'm watching this interaction. He goes, "This has bacon. You know I don't eat bacon." And the guy goes, "Well, it's no big deal, whatever." And he was so disgusted, he just pushed the food away. And it was like, I don't know what he had to do to clean himself up from that. But what I'm saying is, everybody knows bacon's good, right? Yeah. All right. So whatever that cultural thing is and whatever that ingrained thing is, it goes very deep. And we have some too, by the way, and I'm not going to try to name them. But every culture and every people has those things that really, really get to them. Well, Stephen was navigating a time where some of that stuff was going on. So think back into the civil rights movement here in America. Now, I guess I was not quite born yet. Some of you remember it. Some of y'all remember it, right? I've seen pictures. I've seen video clips from it. I've heard the speeches. I've heard a lot of Martin Luther King's speeches. And I feel like I've got a little bit of a grasp of how turmoil, how chaotic that time was. And I don't know if those are the right words because I wasn't there, but it feels like people were reframing the way they thought about the world. And there was anger, and there was deep anger, and there were people who were ingrained in a certain way of thinking, and people who were fighting that way of thinking. So people get hurt. People get hurt when a culture is shifting that way. So just to frame that a little bit, change can charge emotions, and Stephen was right there in the middle of that. And something very deep as the religious beliefs, he was there trying to navigate that. So in verse 7, "And the word of God increased." See what's happening here? The word of God is spreading, and people's way of thinking is being challenged. "And the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." So There were a great many out there doing the work. The work was divided. The right people were chosen, and somebody was out there willing to put energy into it. So the gospel was able to spread, and the gospel was able to grow. So Stephen, in verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen was chosen because he was a person of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Stephen was strong. He got out there and did what God had him to do. And him being full of faith and power, he did great wonders and miracles. And God was using that to help spread the gospel and to help to prove to people that these men that were spreading his word had his power on them. And that served that purpose during that time. And Stephen was there to do that. So in verse 9, then there arose a certain of the synagogue. Now these are the religious people. They arose, okay? Which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputed with Stephen. Now, why would anybody want to dispute with Stephen, who is full of power and of the Holy Ghost, and is obviously doing God's work? Because he was challenging the way they'd always been taught and the way they'd always done things. A lot of the people who were upset during the civil rights movement saw the power seat that they held starting to slip away. A lot of times it gets very personal for us. If change is in the air, we start thinking about how is this going to affect me? And if it's going to affect me by degrading what I have and the power seat that I'm in, then I'm going to do something to try to stop that, no matter whether it's right or wrong. And these folks in these religious synagogues saw that there was a grassroots movement among the people that they were going to start thinking for themselves and believe in a different way. So they stood up against Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. That's even worse. You're going to try to go make a fool out of a man, And he outdoes you, and he stands strong. And that'll happen when you got God's power on you. And they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. So they went and found some people that would say what they needed them to say. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And set up false witness, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. Oh no, the customs. Don't mess with the customs. Y'all can fill in the blanks. Jesus didn't care a whole lot about customs. Jesus cared a whole lot about people. Helping people. Saving people. Healing people. Empowering people. Customs don't help people. Customs regiment. And if the customs become the religion, who does that help? And what good is that? That's not an extension of what Christ. That's not an extension of God's grace and mercy. Jesus would have it done in a way that is enveloped in love and truth. And Jesus would have us help people that need help. And Jesus would have us love people that need love. And sometimes it doesn't fit the customs. So, in verse 15, and I love this verse. I've used this verse so many times to help me. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face and had been as it had been the face of an angel. Stephen had the whole world coming down on him. And he was sitting in the midst of people tearing him apart, lying on him. They were telling lies. They were going against what he knew was right. They were talking about him. They were smearing his name in the community. And who cares about your name? I care a whole lot about my name and my credibility. And they were doing this to Stephen, and they had authority in the community. They had authority in the area because they were the religious people. And as they were gnawing at Stephen, and as they were accusing him, he sat there as if he had the face of an angel, because he enveloped himself in the power and the truth that the Lord had to offer, and he was settled into that peace during that turmoil. Remember Stephen when you're going into a tricky environment. Remember Stephen when you know tomorrow's going to be a tough day and you're going to face some tough things. I think of Stephen a lot, and the fact that just because things are busy and there's turmoil around us, and not everybody loves us, not everybody agrees with us, and not everybody appreciates us, just because that's going to happen doesn't mean we got to wear that. We can ask God to allow us to wear the spirit that Stephen wore that day. Because it's the same spirit. We have access to that same spirit. We have access to that calmness and that peace and that knowledge that we're in the right place. And if we're doing what God has asked of us, we are in the right place. So Stephen had something very special there. And we also have access to that. So I also think of verse 7 in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. You don't have to turn there. But it talks about the fact that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We don't have to be afraid. God didn't give us fear. God didn't give us fear of things of this world. He gave us a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. And we can settle into that if we trust God. You know, I was studying. I studied a little bit about trust, and this is going a little bit out of the Scripture, but there's a study out there that says trust is made up of capability and or competence and credibility. And you can only trust people that you believe have credibility, that you can believe them, and that are competent and able, and that won't lie to you. But we've got a God that's very able. And we got a God that can't lie. We can trust Him with everything in our lives, and He's got the power to take care of that. So Stephen was in the situation where everyone was up against him, and he had the face of an angel. And Stephen found himself in a situation where he was going to have to give his life for Jesus and for what he believed in. So fast forward over to Acts 7, verse 60, and you'll find Stephen in a situation where they picked up stones against him. And his fate is sure at this point. And they're starting to throw the stones. And they're starting to address Stephen in that way. And in verse 60, Stephen kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now you tell me the power of God that has to be on someone that can take a stoning and during the stoning say, "Lay this not to their charge." I can think of one other person that did something like that. Jesus Christ laid down His life on the cross. And He did it for us. And He did it so that no sin would be laid to our charge. He did it for each one of us, and we can see that same spirit that Stephen had there is the same spirit that Jesus had on the cross. And it's the same spirit that plays out throughout this Bible over and over. And it's the same spirit that we have access to today. God doesn't change. The Holy Ghost is still real. God is still real. Jesus really was here, and it really did happen. And He really did do it for us. And no matter how much technology we get, no matter how much access to information we get, no matter how smart we get about the universe, no matter how confusing those things become to us, it doesn't change the fact that God is real. And that there is peace in situations that we can't explain. You ever doubt God is real? If you ever doubt God is real, remember that time where He calmed that thing in your life that you thought there was no solution for. Y'all remember that? It's different for all of us, but it's there. Remember that time when you, however you did it, you asked for that salvation, and the weight of the world was lifted off of you in that moment, and you knew that you had a friend for life. Remember those times where you didn't have the answer, and you whispered a prayer, "God, I don't know what to do," and something just told you the right thing to do in that moment, and you weren't sure if you heard it or not, or if you felt it, or if you dreamed it. You're not real sure how it was communicated to you, but you knew you got direction in that moment. That's God. God moves. Remember that chance encounter that you had to where you got the answer you needed from somebody else? Are you able to provide an answer for somebody else? And it was an encounter that should have never occurred, but it was the right thing at the right time. That's God orchestrating things in our life. And God cares enough for all of us every day and everything we do to orchestrate those things for us. And all He asks for us is to live for Him and to put ourselves as best we can in a place where we can be used and blessed by Him. That's all He asks for. That's all I got. Thank you for your attention.